We're going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is a story about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and his encounter with Jesus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." This is the word of the Lord.
When was the last time you were disappointed, really disappointed? You missed seeing someone. You received an invitation to a party, but you're already committed to another event. You didn't get the result you wanted in study. You missed out on something at work. People let you down, or worse, you let yourself down. Zacchaeus didn't want to miss seeing Jesus. He's disappointed that he can't see over the others. Apparently, he was short and he couldn't see over the crowd. I can so relate to that. So often, I'm sitting behind someone trying to see around them. There are other shorties in our midst. You know that feeling. In chapter 18, we're introduced to a rich young ruler. And he asks this question: "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus reminds him of the commandments, and the ruler replies that he's obeyed them all. So Jesus tells him that he still lacks one thing: sell everything, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And the ruler leaves Jesus sad and disappointed. Jesus says to the disciples, "It's so hard for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God." And the disciples ask, "Well, if he can't, who can?" And then we have this story. Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem. In Luke 9, we read that he resolutely set out to go to Jerusalem. He knows what is awaiting him, but he's not going back. His disciples don't understand, even though Jesus has told them about his death and resurrection at least three times. Jesus is passing through Jericho, and he's now so close to Jerusalem. In Luke 9, he was in Bethsaida. That's where he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And we can see from the map that he's now so close to the finish line. He plans to simply pass through Jericho, but he stops in this story. He has his radar up for those who need him, who need his help. Now, Luke introduces Zacchaeus almost in stages. First of all, he's a man, his name's Zacchaeus, he's a chief tax collector, and finally, he's rich. And there's a big emphasis on the rich. And the rich haven't fared well in the Gospel of Luke. So as we're reading this, it would be easy to think that Jesus will judge him or challenge his dishonesty, but it doesn't come. Tax collectors were not at all liked. Perhaps some things haven't changed. They were usually Jews, working for the Roman government to collect taxes, and they were very unpopular because the Jews and the Romans coexisted, but it wasn't peaceful. The Romans were occupying the land of the Jews, and the middlemen, the tax collectors, were viewed as traitors and hence hated. And Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, but he was also the chief not just of Jericho, but the surrounding region. He might be that short guy, but he was feared. But he wanted to know who Jesus was, and he wants to see Jesus, and we don't know why. Zacchaeus goes to great effort. He's probably clothed like royalty, and yet he runs down the street. It was undignified for a grown man to run at the time. This was way before the days of Lycra and park runs. Not only does he run, but he scurries up a tree. He forgets dignity. A man of his importance would not have climbed trees. So there's almost a childlike faith here. He runs, he climbs, he just wants to see Jesus. He's a man on a mission. You know, the photo on the screen is called the Sycamore Tree of Zacchaeus. It's located in Jericho. He was curious. But perhaps we come today curious about this man Jesus. Jesus is resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he's not likely to stop for someone like Zacchaeus, except he does. When Jesus comes to the spot, Jesus stops and looks up and he sees Zacchaeus. And Jesus calls him by name. How did he know his name? You know, sometimes we feel that God doesn't know who we are. But God knows our names. He knows your name. And Jesus tells Zacchaeus, I want to be a guest in your home. He gives honour to the man without honour. So they were having dinner and talking. And in the middle of it, Zacchaeus stands up. And he says, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And he addresses Jesus as Lord. Lord means master. He's recognizing Jesus as ruler, not the Roman Empire, not the Roman government. And then he says, with my remaining wealth, I'll pay back people I've wronged. Zacchaeus has encountered Jesus and is turning away from the way that he's been living. He's overcome with love, and his response is to live differently. I'll give half of my wealth and I'll pay back people I've wronged. He immediately produces fruit. And Jesus says to him, salvation has come to this house today. And this beautiful verse, some would say it's the most important in Luke's gospel. I have come to seek and save the lost. You know, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus challenged him to give up his rights and to follow Jesus, to give away things that were a priority in his heart, and he couldn't. But Zacchaeus could. And when we encounter Jesus, our lives are changed, transformed, and we produce good fruit. Do we say yes when we encounter Jesus? When we're in right relationship with God, we respond by doing and saying things that lead others into more love and more life. I have a few questions for us from this passage. What do you do to be close to Jesus? You know, clearly Zacchaeus was desperate to see who Jesus was, and he went to great lengths. He went out on a limb, literally. He was persistent. He didn't allow an obstacle to stand in his way. He didn't want to come to see Jesus secondhand. What efforts do we go to see Jesus? To be close to Jesus? Prayer, reading the scriptures, meeting with other believers as we are here now, in connect groups. You know, I often have a challenge in my life, you know, do I spend more time scrolling on my phone than drawing closer to God? What do you do to be close to Jesus? Is your radar up? Jesus had his radar up. He noticed Zacchaeus in the tree. When do you have your radar up for others? We live in this me-centered, me-first culture. It's from us from birth. Look at any baby. And our me-centeredness is sin. It separates us from God, from others, and from creation. You know, the God of the universe loves you, wants to be in relationship with you and transform your life. There is no one too different, too sinful, too bad, too removed, too worthless to be separated from the love of God. This is good news. And hence we have our radar up so that we notice others. In Romans 12 it says, honour one another above yourselves. Is your radar up? Who do you have lunch with? Literally and figuratively, think back over the last 6 months. Have you had lunch with people who look different to you? Someone with different thinking, different theology, different understandings, even different politics. Jesus had lunch with a lot of people that weren't like him. You know, it's a missional move to share lunch. And it's a natural way to break down defensive walls that we have. Jesus wasn't afraid of eating with those who were different. And he actively sought people out. Eating with people helps to bridge divisions, socio-economic, racial, political, and cultural divides. Who will you have lunch with in the next 6 months? Think about one or two that you could add to the list. We can invite people into our homes, go out for coffee, share a cup of tea with someone, or sit with someone at school or at work. Who are you listening to, spending time with? Is your radar up? And who do you have lunch with? What fruit are you producing? Zacchaeus encounters Jesus and is radically changed, and it's immediate. He immediately produces fruit. And that's how we know that his transformation was real. Jesus is prepared to go to the home of Zacchaeus to be seen with him, and Zacchaeus is so overcome by Jesus' love for him that he changes his way. He gives away half of his wealth and makes amends for those he's wronged. Our relationship with God is seen by others by our fruit. What fruit are you producing? We often don't see it ourselves. Perhaps the others, ask others around us. You know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector before he met Jesus and after he met Jesus. Jesus didn't send him off somewhere else to pastor or to plant a church. He remained a tax collector. We assume a chief tax collector. He's called to be a faithful, honest, respectable tax collector. The world needs more tax collectors like Zacchaeus. Sometimes God calls us to a life elsewhere, but most people, the norm is to remain where we are. In Acts, a married couple called Aquila and Priscilla invite a young leader of the church into their home. And they teach him a bit more about faith. Lydia invited Paul and Silas into her home. A Roman centurion encounters Jesus, and Jesus says, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith, and he remained a centurion. And the majority of the New Testament letters are written to people who stayed where they are and lived out their lives for Christ in their everyday context. Zacchaeus was busy. He was busy with his life storing up treasures, and he truly encounters Jesus and everything changes. And yet nothing changes. He's still a tax collector. He goes to the same markets, lives with the same family, and yet somehow nothing is the same. And isn't that the same for us? As followers, we're to respond to God's love, live out the call of God in our lives. In Ephesians 4, Paul urges us to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We're all called to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we've all received the calling of Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And Zacchaeus, the hardened tax collector, was transformed and was now living this out. The rich young ruler wasn't prepared to make the changes, to make that shift, to put following Jesus before his wealth. But Zacchaeus shows this eagerness to do what is right by the poor from his encounter with the love of Jesus. We have a story of unexpected twists and reversals here. A chief tax collector that embarrasses himself by running and climbing up a tree. Jesus' ministry to the outcast and despised even reaches the rich as well as the poor, including tax collectors. And Jesus sought out and saved one who was lost. And in response, Zacchaeus joyfully pledges to bear fruits worthy of repentance. You know, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking to see Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus and he found him. And salvation came, healing came to his house. I wonder who you are in this story. Are we Zacchaeus, lost in this world, lost in our lives? Are we Jesus, with our radar up, noticing Zacchaeus, welcoming Zacchaeus in, eating with him, acknowledging him as an insider? Or are we the crowd, grumbling? Am I noticing others? Am I delighted and inspired? Or am I puzzled and grumbling? Or perhaps we're a little bit of all three. We know we're lost and we need the life, joy, and wisdom of Jesus in our lives. We would like to welcome people to eat with them, and yet, if we're honest, we know that we grumble at times. So I think this passage helps us to think about these questions. What do you do to be close to Jesus? Are our radars up today, tomorrow, and this week? Who do we have lunch with? And what fruit are we producing? What is your response to encountering the transforming love of Jesus as he seeks and saves you? As he seeks and saves us. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for this story. So real, so normal, it could play out in the next street. We thank you for your incredible love, that as we encounter this love, that our lives are radically changed. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to seek and save the lost. And we acknowledge our own lostness. We're also aware of our inadequacies and our failings, those things that we do where we don't welcome people in, when we don't invite people for lunch, when we don't notice others. Thank you that all these things, all our sin is forgiven. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll put on our hearts people that we can invite to lunch, people that we can sit with wherever it is that we are. Help us to be close to Jesus, to have our radar up and to notice, and to be fruitful, showing your love. Help us, lead us, guide us in this, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.